الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم في حديث مشهور إن الله تعالى طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين قال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من طيبات واعملوا صالحا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطير السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وهزي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب له رواه مسلم. قبلہ قاری صاحب, respected elders, brothers in Islam, the hadith sharif that I have read to you today is a narration in which our beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us and encourages us about the importance of halal food, halal drink and halal provisions. Those things which are allowed in Islam, those things which are permitted. And it is a reminder, a very clear reminder from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay away from those things which are forbidden. And at the end of the hadith, the Prophet is suggesting that a person who does not take care with his food, with his drinks, meaning that he does not ensure that it is halal, it is permissible, then his du'as will not be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will begin by reading the hadith, and there are some very important words in there which I would like to talk about, from which you will understand what halal really is in Islam. So I will read you the hadith and the translation first. The Prophet first said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tayyib. Inna Allah ta'ala tayyibun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is tayyib. I will come back to this word inshallah. And then he goes on to say, لا يقبل إلا طيبا. And Allah will not accept except طيب. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And Allah orders the believers the same thing which he told the messengers to do as well. So this is a reference in reality to a ayah from the Holy Quran which the Prophet reads in the actual hadith. And this ayah from the Holy Quran is, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ, that oh messengers, eat from the tayyib things, from the pure things, wa'malu saliha, and perform good actions. And in another ayat, ya ayyuhallazina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, oh believers, eat from the tayyib things which we have given you provisions. So quite clearly we will only understand this hadith if we understand what the word tayyib means. Once we understand what tayyib means, that will give us an idea of what the Prophet here is saying, because firstly we are told that Allah himself is tayyib. Secondly, we are told that Allah accepts only tayyib things. And then we are fairly told that we should only eat tayyib things. So quite clearly we must understand what the word tayyib means. Tayyib is an Arabic word from the word taaba. It means pak, pure, clean. Something which is completely free from any defects, completely free from any impurities. And I will give you a few examples so you understand where the word comes from. Sometimes when we talk about the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we sometimes call it Madina Munawwara, the enlightened city. Munawwara in Arabic means the enlightened city, the city full of nur, full of light. Another description that you might often hear is that we describe Madina as Madina Tayyiba. And Madina Tayyiba literally means pure Madina, Pak Madina, clean Madina. So quite clearly, if you are associating the word Tayyib with the city of the Prophet, the word Tayyib can only mean good. Another explanation of this word I will give in reference to how it has been used in the Quran. And in the Quran, what we see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the definition of what the opposite of Tayyib is. And once you hear what the opposite of tayyib is, it will inshallah increase your understanding of the word. Allah says in the Quran, مَا كَانَ اللَّهِ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave the believers in the state that they are in, hatta yamizal khabisa min at-tayyib, until Allah differentiates and makes a gap between the khabis and the tayyib. So there are two opposites used. Tayyib means spark, clean, and the opposite of that is khabis. And you might have heard this word, it's often used in Urdu as well, a very negative term, a very derogative term. If, for instance, we call someone khabis, then you understand very well that this is not a polite thing to say. So that, inshallah, will make you understand that what the tayyib means. It's a complete opposite of khabis. So from this we understand that it's something which is pure, something which is clean, 100% white. And Allah himself, therefore, in this hadith, we hear that Allah describes himself as being tayyib, pure. And because he is pure, because he is clean from ourselves, from his believers, from his servants, he will only accept tayyib a'mal, clean a'mal from us. And he would not expect anything less, that we are his servants, and if he is pure and he is clean, then he would expect our a'mal to be clean as well. And then in the same hadith, the Prophet goes on to say that in terms of eating, in terms of drinking, the food and drink that you eat should be tayyib. It should mean, it should be pure, it should be clean, it should be halal. And what the ulama-i kiram say from this point, a very important point that we need to remind ourselves time and time again, that all the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for us, made halal for us, is tayyib by nature. It is clean by nature. If Allah has allowed something, then it is clean, and that is why it is allowed. It is pure. And on the other hand, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden something, then there is a good reason behind that. It is because it is not tayyib. It is khabis. It is dirty. It is impure. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, says that you are allowed to do certain acts in Islam, you are allowed to drink certain drinks, you are allowed to eat certain foods, then in reality, whether we understand it or not, whether it is in our capacity to understand the wisdom behind it, it is because it is tayyib, it is pure. And if we are told that something is forbidden, then there is a very good reason why it is forbidden. Sometimes we may understand the reason behind that, sometimes we will not. But we should say, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He has ordered us to do, it is for our own good. Let me give you one example, that we all know that alcohol is forbidden in Islam. It has been, time and time again, it has been mentioned as the root of all evil. This is forbidden by nature. It is forbidden time and time again in the Quran and in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a perfectly good reason why alcohol is forbidden. Because alcohol is such a disease, is such a drink which causes havoc on the spiritual body, on the physical body, on the moral body. Moreover, the harm and effects that alcohol causes is not just to one person, it causes havoc to whole communities. It causes havoc on everyone around us. And because this is such a evil disease, because it causes so much havoc and distress to all those around us, that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden it. By saying that it is haram for you and you should not go towards alcohol, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not depriving us of something. We shouldn't think for one moment that Allah is not allowing us to drink this great source or on those lines. Rather, our mentality and our thinking should be that it is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has forbidden it. Let me give you just a few statistics from the government themselves. These are official government statistics which talk about the problems that alcohol have caused. Just a few statistics. In 1991, 16 years ago, there were 4,144 alcohol-related deaths in this country. And since that time, another survey was done 14 years later in 2005. In 1991, it was 4,000, just over 4,000 alcohol-related deaths. In 2005, there were 8,386 alcohol-related deaths. Just almost doubled in that time. And likewise, we hear from the Home Office, we hear from the national statistics, that every year approximately 3,500 people die on the roads in the United Kingdom. through car accidents and so forth, through pedestrians being run over. 3,500 people lose their lives because of traffic on the roads and so forth. 1 in 6 of those accidents is because of alcohol-related problems. Because people have got into the car and they were drunk. Because people are not sober when they are driving. They are under the influence of alcohol. And it's unfortunate that this government, it knows what the problem is, that alcohol is the root of all evil. It is not that they don't understand what damage alcohol causes. And it seems that they do nothing about it. Rather, they're doing the opposite. They're increasing this problem. You might have heard that a couple of years ago, people knew about this problem of binge drinking, where people were going onto the road and quite literally vomiting in the streets, causing havoc on the streets. And the government sat down and they said, what shall we do about this? And to our surprise, and to the surprise of any normal intellectual person, they decided to extend the pub hours and the club hours of how long they can serve alcohol. Rather than cut it down of how much time they can actually go to the pub and take alcohol, they actually extended it. And so that pubs could open longer. And now in any part of the country, you can probably walk into a pub at 11 o'clock in the morning and have a drink, which is atrocious. And they know what the problem is, yet they are going the complete opposite way round of trying to tackle this problem. So in short, the message that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden something, then it is because it is not tayyib. It is not clean. Tayyib in the Quran has been used to mean halal. Halal means tayyib, tayyib means halal. So understand from this that if something is forbidden, then it is for your own good. And if something is allowed in Islam, then it is for your own good. One last point I will conclude on, before I read the remainder of the hadith, that nowadays sometimes we see, especially with alcohol, that there are certain drinks which contain, on the bottle itself, they will tell you that it contains 0.1% alcohol. Or on the packaging itself, it will say alcohol-free cider or alcohol-free wine. And some Muslims, unfortunately, they are confused by this and they start assuming that they can drink this now. And they think to themselves, if anyone asks them that why are you drinking that, this is clearly wine or this is clearly lager or clearly something forbidden, they will say it's only 0.0%. It's only a small percentage. What damage can that 0% do? That 0.1%, or if it's 99% okay, then how much damage can that 1% do? The reality is that 1% is enough for a person to make his a'mal completely null and void. That 0.1%. And because that 0.1% is haram, it is impure, what that does, it has the effect of making the remainder haram and impure as well. Let me give you just one quick example. Just say for instance that you went to a hotel, a very expensive restaurant, to have dinner on one evening. And you were sitting there and you were being served and by the waiter and you asked for a jug of water. Just imagine they brought you a clear jug of water. A big, nice big jug of water, 2-3 liters of water. As you receive the water, you see that there is a small cockroach in the water. As soon as you see that cockroach, you will call the waiter over and you will say to him that, can't you see there's a cockroach in this water? Are you insane that this is a restaurant and I have paid good money to eat here and there is this animal in the water? I'm not going to drink this. Now the waiter could turn around and say, well look, the water is absolutely massive, the jug, and the cockroach is only a small animal. What effect will that small cockroach have of that water? You could easily say that. But quite clearly any impartial, right-minded person will ask for the water to be changed. He will say, get rid of that cockroach, I'm not going to drink this water. That this cockroach has come into it, which sane person would drink this now? Just imagine the waiter, rather than changing the water, he simply dipped his hand into the water and he took out the cockroach and he said, here's the drink, have it now. There's no cockroach in it. How many people would still drink that water? Again, the waiter could say that you complained about the cockroach is not there anymore, there's no sign of it. What would most people reply? They would say that yes, the cockroach is no longer there, but it's still got the effects in there. Change the water, I want the water changed. Now, in exactly the same way, if there is 0.001% of alcohol in a drink, it has made all of it haram. It has made all of it impure. The fact that even it has the smallest minute drop of alcohol in it, then that is enough for you to say that I will not drink this and I will stay away from it. So in exactly the same way we would operate in this world when we are given something impure, then we should operate in exactly the same thing when it is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me finish off the last bit of the hadith, which is very strong words from the Prophet. He said, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ رَجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ عَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the remainder of the hadith mentioned a man who made a very long journey and he became dusty because he's been traveling for such a long period of time. He's traveling alone and the sand and whatever else, he is very tired, he is very anxious and he has dust all over him, he's in a very bad state. Now the reason why he's mentioned a musafir in this hadith is that a musafir's dua is usually accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A musafir's dua is very strong, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded, in normal circumstances. Then what happens? يَمُدُّ يَدَيْكَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ. This traveler, he obviously needs something from Allah and he raises his hands towards the sky and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Aw Allah, Aw Allah. And then the Prophet says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. He is raising his hands to Allah in prayer for dua. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. But his food is haram. The food that he has been eating on that journey is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ. And the drinks that he has been having is also haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. And his clothes are haram. How are clothes haram? Because he has bought the clothes with haram money. Maybe he has bought it with gambling money or interest money. وَهُزِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. And he is nourished by haram. And then the Prophet finishes off by saying, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. The Prophet is asking us that how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer his prayers? How can you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer his prayers? It's inconceivable. Imagine there is an employer who is working for his boss. He never comes on time. He is always late. He never gets the work done. He is rowdy. He is angry. He does not treat those around him with respect. Then after a year's work, he comes to the boss's office and he says to the boss that, please, I want a promotion. I want an increase in my salary. Now then the boss will turn around and say, what have you done for me? You've caused nothing but heartache. If anything, I should give you a demotion or I should give you a sack. And exactly the same way, when we eat haram and then we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah give us siha, Ya Allah give us this, Ya Allah give us rizq, that is exactly the same game that we are playing. That we expect something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our behavior is somewhat different. It is nifaq, it is hypocrisy. And so, quite clearly in very strong words, in a way that we will remember it, the Prophet is reminding us that ensure that everything you eat, everything you drink, everything you purchase is done with halal money, is done with halal provisions. And for there is barakah, there is blessings in the halal things, the clean things, the pure things, the tayyib things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to stay away from haram food and drink and provisions. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul.